Hi, welcome to another Revenue Hub podcast. Today we are joined by Robert Schimmel, Vice President of Product Management at Sendyne. Robert talks about three of Sendyne's new products, Audiences, Insight Score, and Priority Queue. And through these products, he outlines the value and importance of understanding and segmenting your guest data and how this increased guest knowledge can be utilized to drive additional revenue. Hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you, Trevor. How are you?
Yeah, very good indeed. Great to have you join us today. I know from previous conversations with you, you could say this has been a pretty busy year for you guys.
Oh, indeed. Indeed it has. Nonstop.
And probably 21's not going to be significantly different either.
Oh, it's an uphill battle every time.
Well, look, today we're going to focus just around three solutions that you guys have been developing during 2020. We thought it'd be great to get you on here as your kind of key integral to those developments, to hear all about them. And I guess a good starting point is to just give you the floor for a few minutes to introduce yourself so that those listening to us can kind of get a sense of who you are and where you sit within the Sendyne framework.
Sure. Thank you, Trevor. My name is Robert Schimmel. I'm Vice President of Product at Sendyne. I've been with Sendyne going on about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. I started on the development side of the business, working with development teams, building out the software solutions that we have, many of which we still have in place today. About 5 years ago, I leapt into more of the product role, and now I'm overseeing all of Sendyne's product suites.
So you've been integral to, I mean, we're going to look at Audiences, Insight Score, and Priority Queue. So you've been integral into the development of those three solutions.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been a big team effort.
It's not just you sitting there.
That's right. I've got a great team on the product team, as well as the dev side on the implementations side of the business. Good. It's been a great year. We've got a lot of great product feature enhancements that we've added to our platforms. And we're really excited that our customers are able to take advantage of them.
Yeah, no, that's a great journey, and as you say, lots more in the pipeline for next year as well. So coming online. So let's focus then on the first of the three that we mentioned, Audiences, because that the Insight Score and the Priority Queue, they all kind of can feed and interrelate with Audiences. So that seems like a logical starting point. Just tell us first of all about Audiences, but kind of where how it came about. What was the rationale for it?
Yeah, so it came about over time. Mm-hmm. We've always had segmentation within our CRM tool, eInsight. We've always had the ability to kick off a new campaign, and the first step of creating a campaign was always to define the audience.
Yeah.
Right. So that was always the first step that a user would take when they go to create a campaign. They give it a name, and then they would start building out the who will receive mm-hmm. a particular campaign. Over time, we noticed that, you know, some of the challenges came up where our clients would clone a campaign just to get at the audience and then change everything about it. Right.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that copy campaign and then rejig it all. Yeah. Yeah.
It really wasn't as intuitive as we had hoped. So we started brainstorming with the teams and putting together what is now the audiences area, which is a workspace for our customers to go in and build audiences at their leisure. Mm-hmm. And this really enables them to kind of get ahead of the campaign workflow,
okay,
as well as gives them the ability to create audiences that are multi-use, right?
Yep.
Audiences that could be leveraged outside of just creating a campaign, whether it be for reporting or list extracts, et cetera. There's a lot more power to this audience builder that we're unlocking with the audiences area.
And I know a lot of your clients are, or the majority of your clients are kind of large hotel groups. So I guess you've then got numerous teams, numerous individuals are working, as you say, on these campaigns. Now, I know in our small world, in comparison, you know, when you're putting the campaign together, you've got the people you're trying to target, then you're looking at what you want to say, then you're looking at some of the coding that might go on behind it. So I'm guessing when in a typical process, you've got multiple people that are layering into this single campaign. How does that kind of impact on the workflow if you've got sort of audiences and it's not integrated into campaign? You've kind of been able to separate that piece out.
Yeah. So also prior to the audiences feature, there were a lot more cooks in the kitchen in building mm-hmm. a campaign. Like as you said, you would have a user that would go in just to define the audience. You might have another user that goes in to build out the template, a whole nother user that goes and tests all these details about the campaign.
Yeah.
So there were, a lot of room for people overwriting some details about the campaign. Now within audiences, the user would simply just select the audience as the first step. And then they can go on and then start building out the actual template for that campaign. Also, with audiences, you now have the ability to utilize the same audience with multiple campaigns.
Well, that was the thing that struck me when you said being able to separate that out. Previously, mm-hmm. when you build a campaign, you kind of go in, you look at your segmentation, you build it, that sits with the campaign. But to be able to multi-purpose that audience in different ways seems like so much more flexibility.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no longer that need to clone a campaign just to yeah. get at the audience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the key advantages as well is the ability to update an audience while a campaign is already scheduled. For example, okay. you may have a trigger campaign that goes off every day or weekly or every 10 minutes, et cetera. And up until now, a user would have to go and stop that campaign, go edit the audience, and then go through the whole saving process to then resave and republish that campaign. Now, with audiences, a user can just go back to that campaign, update the criteria of the audience and the segmentations and save it. And there's it could be saved into draft. This isn't mm-hmm. something that has to be done at one specific period of time. They can come back to it until they're comfortable.
Yep.
And when they're comfortable with the audience, they understand who's on it and who should be on it, then they can simply hit save and publish. And then all of the campaigns that are leveraging that audience can be updated the next time that email gets triggered to go out. It will use the newly right. saved audience.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And this, and again, I mean, it's easy to kind of assume. So when we're talking, you're using the word audiences for the product. The audience is therefore the people that you're reaching out to through the campaign. Kind of back end piece, how are these audiences being constructed? These are the information, the guest profiles that the hotel groups are.
Great question. So the audiences area is where all of the audiences live that are built. The tool in which you create the audience, we call the audience builder. Mm-hmm. And the audience builder is a drag and drop editor where you can drag filters over to a canvas. And there's a concept of segments where you can include and exclude various segments on gotcha. Canvas. It can get really, really into the details of who you want to target. We wanted to ensure that typically any type of query that we would go to the database for, we could reconstruct within the UI of the audience you. Builder. I've absolutely.
Got you. So you've got that also, granularity built in.
Yes, yeah. absolutely. And also, I think it's worth mentioning, we do have like data across all of our clients. Our top clients are in the hotel space, as you know. Mm-hmm. The PMS data flows into us, the guest details flows into us. But there are also third-party integrations that also come in to Sendine. And those may not be applicable for all of our clients, right? Whether it be activities or ticketing or food and beverage, for example. And with any new integration that we do, bringing new data in to enrich our guest profile, we can make those details filterable within the audience builder.
Okay.
And be part of the marketing automation.
So if someone had a spa, but obviously other properties didn't have a spa, that wouldn't be relevant for them to have as a filter. But if you were, if you were a city-based property looking at the drive market and you had a spa and you were putting some offers around and could do it within the various COVID restrictions, you could go in, drag and drop those segments into your audience builder. And then that would then pull across all of the individuals that met that criteria. And that would build an audience for that campaign. Is that?
That is accurate, what you just said. That's exactly the way that it works.
Okay, perfect. Good. And I think, as you say, it's the thing that struck me when we were kind of talking of discussing this was just the degree to which it simplifies everything.
Yeah.
Being able to have it as a separate function, so you could have someone looking at building this audience, but they don't have to then be tied in with the marketing or the coding, and people can dive into it at various different times.
Yeah, and we're looking to incorporate audiences throughout Sendyne's ecosystem, not just in our CRM solution. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be used for digital marketing, heavily in digital marketing. Right now, it can be still via list extracts, but more integrated is definitely on the way. Listen, we built out this really great tool that can segment a very large database. And we want to make as much use of this tool as possible. And yeah, audience is definitely a vehicle that will get us there.
No, that makes sense. And then feeding into that, and I can see now how this overlays, but another of the products that you guys have been working with is and developing is Insight Score.
Yes.
So just talk to us firstly about Insight Score and actually kind of what it is, and then we'll talk about how that then overlays with the discussion we've just had on audiences.
Sure. So Insight Score is Sendyne's lifetime value score of a guest. Mm-hmm. So it's backed by data science. We have a data science team that really got into the details of the eInsight warehouses and started building out algorithms that could utilize the RFM details, so RFM? Recency, frequency, monetary details of a particular guest, which shows, you know, how recency is, how close to now has that last day occurred, or did they have a stay close on the books? Frequency, how often do they stay? And monetary is, of course, their lifetime value.
Yeah.
So we sum up all of the transactions that come in to the CRM for the value portion, the monetary portion of the score. So it's not just looking at a particular stay or just the stays. It takes in food and beverage, and it can take in.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah. So if they stayed in the spa, if they stayed in the restaurant, whatever, it pulls all of that in, not just the room booking piece.
It pulls all of that in. Yes.
Right. Okay.
And it generates a score. And that score can live on the profile, which can help with personalization. When a guest is standing maybe right in front of a customer service agent or on a phone with a call center, the score is also actionable. So that's how it can go back to the audience builder, where you're targeting a group of guests, and you may be targeting your best guests, which are maybe 90 and above.
So it's a score out of 100, yeah?
It's a score out of 100. Mm-hmm. We do have buckets of kind of the makeup of the individual score in a guide, so that it can help marketing managers, you know, really drill down into their objectives. Mm-hmm. So that score can be utilized with all of the other filters that are available in the audience builder to make sure that it's actionable.
I've got you. So back to our example of the spa in the city hotel. So you could then go into that audience that you have built out, but there may be a slightly more higher priced, or possibly depending on where you're trying to target it, but you could then look at the guest profiles and I want to make sure I don't get the language muddled up here, but you can look at the guest profiles insight score. Are you then able to put a weight in? So you would say, right, well, everybody that is above 80, between 85 or 100, we want them within this audience. You can then segment that audience even further around the insight score and just target. Right. Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. You can do a weighting, like you just said, greater than 85%, or you could do between 60 and 70%. You name it. You have the powers at the fingertips to really work with the insight score, as well as other filters available at on the audience builder.
And is the insight score, is that something that is just a scoring for a purpose of segmentation to the marketing, or is this visible to people at, say, the in front office at the desk at reservations, where they can actually see that value? Because obviously sometimes knowing the value of that customer or when guest, when they're right opposite you, can be quite powerful.
Yeah, it's important to all areas of a property, really. The business team can make really critical decisions based on a guest value. For example, offering offering promotional items for certain value scores, potentially using as the tiering mechanism.
I was going to say, if they could say someone over 90%, you can do this. Someone 80 to 90, you could do this kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And it can lead back to surprise and delight, for example. You see somebody with a greater than 90 score, you know that you can give them that extra level of tender, loving care.
I mean, you can get quite sophisticated about it in a way, couldn't you? I mean, if you're thinking from an upselling point of view, there may still be a need to obviously upsell and have a revenue contribution to that rather than giving it as free.
Yeah.
But it may be that the cost for the upsell is less for someone with a greater lifetime value than it would be for somebody with not such a great. So someone that had a 92 insight score, there may be a slightly different price for them than someone that was maybe at a 78, for instance. So they could see the value built into that.
Absolutely. And it could also be, you might make a business decision of targeting a particular insight score between 70 and 80 and say, how can we get these customers higher, right?
Good point.
So use the marketing engine to really help them become better customers.
Yeah.
Really.
And then I guess the more they stay with you and you then build in, the algorithm will pick up that they've stayed with you recently. They've stayed with you an additional time, that will affect the frequency part, and they've obviously spent more money. So it all just drives. Right. Okay.
It's all about, value add.
This
is a really good mechanism to bring surface a lot of details about these guests.
I like the idea of being able to use it operationally as well. I mean, I know when we talk about CRM and then you're back into the audiences and we're looking at marketing campaigns, but something like this insight score fits really well into the operational side of things and how you could tie that into either from an upselling, or if you know that your guest is staying at your restaurant and there may be some things you can do around that for a higher value guest.
That's right. And I know we weren't going to talk about it, but we have a product that sits on a front desk called Engage.
Yeah.
And Engage is all about how you engage with a guest that might be standing in front of you.
Right.
And you have your arrivals report, who's coming in and who's leaving on a particular day. But on the profile in Engage exists the insight score as well. So it's right in front of them. And it could be scripted out. If a property wanted to script exactly what the hotel agent wants to say, they can do that. Or just giving the key information right at the eyes of the agent.
At the moment,
so they can let their personality shine.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then I think as well, there's an element in there in terms of, as you said, you touched on it around some of the monthly KPIs and how they can be used, the business decisions to, say, drive different percentages, different segments as well. So it isn't just used in digital marketing. It isn't just used in the front office. There's also a KPI analytical element that you can use in terms of business operations as well.
Absolutely, and reporting for sure.
Okay, perfect. And then the final piece, so this is another kind of layer on top of, so we've had the audience layer, now we overlay the insight score layer, and now priority queue is now, and would it be right to call it another layer? Will you tell us about priority queue?
Yeah, so priority queue allows hotelier to give yet another level of personalization to mm-hmm. the outbound transactional emails. Mm-hmm. So for example, let's say you have a guest who has stayed on property many, many times. They're a VIP. They've got a insight score of 95. You could define that audience as an exclusion in the audience builder for the transactional emails. So for example, you have a confirmation email that you're currently targeting to everybody who books. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at their data. You just know, all right, somebody just booked a stay. Let's get that email out. That email has personalization tags and dynamic content so that the right message shows to the guest. Mm-hmm. And yes, dynamic content is valuable in that particular circumstance. As you can define a lot of different variables for how you're going to greet a particular guest. Yeah. However, if you stay on property over and over again, that message likely won't change. Yeah, really, yeah, yeah. You might have some seasonal messaging within the audience, but the email itself won't change.
So it's not going to feel very personalized, is it, really?
Exactly. So with priority queue, you're able to segment out your top guests, okay, as an example.
Yeah.
And the recipients, the guests who do not receive the automated transactional email, will fall into the priority queue. And in the priority queue is where a little bit of tender loving care from somebody on property can add that extra layer of personalization.
I've got you.
We see that you like staying on X floor, and we have a room picked out just for you, those kind of details.
Yeah. And so you could use the dynamic content around that specific room, particularly that they always book, to show, we've listened, we know you stay there, and we're not dynamic, is it? Because you're putting it together. It's actually constructed individually in that sense, isn't it?
Right. So the email will load into priority queue as it would have gone out automatically.
Yeah.
But the agent will have the ability to go add a personal touch to that.
Got you. So it kind of flags up, this hasn't gone in the automated queue. You need to, there's a reason it hasn't gone in. It's because you need to adapt it and amend it and personalize it.
That's right. And, it's primarily around our luxury brands have mm-hmm. been interested in this feature for quite some time.
Yeah.
There's some use cases for some specialty properties, mm-hmm. maybe surrounding golf and fishing and those kind of things, where more of their audience lends itself to being put into the priority queue as opposed to the automated transactions.
And this doesn't have to necessarily be, we spoke about the insight score, so you don't have to make the decision that it is based on lifetime value necessarily. You're just looking to have so it could be, you may run, I guess, thinking off the top of my head, let's say you have a very exclusive, you have a hotel, but you're known for exclusive weddings, for instance. So you may not run a lot, but what you run are of a very high caliber.
Right.
And so you don't run a lot of them. And therefore, if someone books a wedding with you, that number may be slightly smaller. You don't want it automated. And I guess there could be a number of requests or questions that were built in when they were booking that you could then almost use that to reconfirm back in that booking the answers. Is that kind of an example?
Yeah, absolutely. And, for in that example, you may have extra details about a particular wedding that doesn't exist in the CRM. It exists. It hasn't come into our infrastructure yet. It might exist in another application. Those details can be pulled out and entered into the priority queue. Sure.
Okay. I've got you. Brilliant. Okay. So we've had the audience, which is like a pulls all the information from the guest profiles, and then you can segment it out with a drag and drop to build that audience for campaigns. You've got then got insight scores where you can then overlay on top of that to refine that even further. But then, as you say, use it actually front office, any interaction, any engagement, and you mentioned your product Engage, but any engagement with the guest, there's a way of seeing the score so you can refine. And then you've got this priority queue, which is a way, which is really focused less of a layer and more of a real personalization, isn't it? That's in right. terms of the communication with the actual guest that's coming to join you. So those three together are pretty, pretty powerful tools.
Yes. Yes. It's been a good year. That extra personalization to guests is a mission critical, especially right now.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, with the with different hotels, and I mean, you're an international company, so you've got different hotels, different regions, even in the US with different cities, different counties, having that ability to it not be a one size fits all and break out and having that different communication, messaging and segmentation, scoring, queuing, is even as you say, even probably more paramount in the in these current times when it just keeps shifting almost on a weekly, monthly basis, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you for sure, the campaigns that are going out now out of eInsight look a lot different than they had earlier in this year.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, look, that's covered off. I mean, it was great to have the chance. We wanted to try and get to sit down and talk with you about what has been going on. But obviously, I think we can understand why now when we're listening just at these products. And obviously, we've spoken, so I know there's some stuff coming in the pipeline next year, which we're keen to have a similar conversation with you about once they go live. But yeah, it was great to have the chance to hear about these. And I think moving beyond, you know, we can obviously read on the website about the products, but actually hearing from the individual who's been leading with their team the development of this and where the application sits has been really, really valuable.
I appreciate the time, Trevor. This has been great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great to have a chance to sit down and chat with you. Thanks so much.
So that's the end of our discussion. I hope you found it interesting, and I'd like to thank Robert for joining us. Feel free to get in contact if you have any questions. We're always interested in your thoughts, and we're happy to follow up with any of our guests. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. That's insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. You can also find the podcast on our Revenue Hub YouTube channel in the Video Over Podcast playlist, where we try to make the podcast as interesting to watch as it is to listen to. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you would consider subscribing. It really helps out the channel. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.